I wanted to say good morning, but it's not the morning. Good evening. How about that? Good afternoon, whichever one you feel is more appropriate. It's a blessing to see everybody here. God is so good, is he not? The Lord is merciful unto me and to all those that fear him from generation to generation. And tonight is a special night. We have families coming together. We got love being exchanged, hearts making room for one another. And let us remember the reason that we do gather, as Pastor Dave pointed out, Christ the Savior. And year after year, we talk about this particular moment in history with more emphasis than before. And to remember the great work God has done in Christ and to trust in what God has still to come. And on Sunday, we spoke of Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, the parents of John the Baptist. And we read about Joseph and Mary, who were espoused to one another. We looked at their reactions. We looked at how when Gabriel had appeared unto them, how each of them reacted to the news. And Zechariah, he had unbelief, which Elizabeth, his wife, was thankful. Mary was surprised, but she was still submissive. Surprised, but submissive to the call, and Joseph was confused. Yet once hearing more about the situation, he got more information about it. He was also submissive to the message Gabriel gave from God. And though they all reacted in their own way, they all had reason to praise God and proclaim his faithfulness. After all, the birth of Christ was not random. You know, it's not like they weren't expecting it. They were expecting something. They were told from the scriptures, from the Old Testament, what was going to happen. They had an expectation in the first century. They knew one day God would send a Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. And tonight we're going to finally cover in our five-part series. We're finally here to cover the birth of Christ. We're going to praise God together for what he has done through Jesus, the Son of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me say a prayer. Lord, I thank you for today. Father, I ask that you guide us, Lord, in your word. Strengthen us, Lord, in heart. Lead us, Lord, in faith and obedience unto you with wisdom, discernment, and discretion, Lord, to rightly divide a word of truth. Be with those, Lord, who are not here. Comfort them, Lord, as you comfort us. And as we are together here, Lord, may we be of one mind, Lord. Strengthen us in our hearts and open our ears of understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in Luke chapter 2, and it's going to be verses 1 to 5. If you got your Bible, Luke chapter 2. 1 to 5, and up on the screen. We're going to kick off right here. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus and all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now notice here in verses 1 and verses 2, Luke gives names of those that are in power in the first century, which is interesting. It does a couple of things there. Those details that Luke gives in the gospel, they give you and I historical data for the time of Christ. Naming Caesar Augustus and Cyrenius is not by accident, of course. They're not like they're made up characters or made up, you know, they're not made up names. Caesar Augustus is a former Roman emperor. He's born, actually, it says, September 23rd, 63 BC, and died August 19th, 14 AD. That's very specific from Encyclopedia Britannica. And mentioning these names, these dates, this dates the writing of the gospel. And the scripture does this all throughout the Bible, which is one of the many ways that we can pinpoint events recorded in the Bible. God's word gives accurate details about the events and the time of the events, giving us a range of the year that this was happening. So it's really interesting that Dr. Luke, who also wrote Acts of the Apostles, would put who was ruling at that time. He wants you to know that this is the time that Christ was born. And the second thing that it does, verses 1 and 2, this propels prophecy. And what do I mean by that? This propels prophecy. This brings Joseph and Mary to the city of which the Savior would be born. And we see this in verse 3. All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city, and verse 4 explains what that means, what it means to be into his own city. Joseph came out of Nazareth. Nazareth is in Galilee. He leaves Nazareth and goes into Bethlehem, and Bethlehem is the city of David. And he goes to that city because King David is his very great-grandson, he's the great-grandson of King David. And again, we covered that on Sunday, that the Messiah would sit on the throne of David, meaning that God gave a promise to King David way back in the Old Testament, promising the Savior would come forth, and God had promised him that the Messiah would sit on the throne and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish justice from henceforth even forever. That's a promise. And scripture says the zeal of the Lord will perform this. It will happen. God will get it done. And it's during this taxing that Mary is great with child. She's ready to go. Now, let's read the promise of where Christ would be born. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. We read this on Sunday. Let's read it again. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He is to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. And we know that verse in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. His goings forth are from everlasting. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. As the scripture says, his comings, his goings forth were from everlasting. A mighty prophecy. Now remember, the Bible is giving details, names, and dates in many of the books that were written. Micah was probably written somewhere between 735 and 700 BC. And this is a prophecy about the Messiah, where the Messiah would be born 700 years before it happened. So we have Joseph and Mary, and they're leaving Nazareth. And they're heading to Bethlehem for this taxing or this census. Being aware of that prophecy, you got to remember Joseph and Mary, we studied this a week ago, they would have had time to know the scriptures. Whether or not they were aware of it, it says that they would, the Christ would be born in Bethlehem. They're in Nazareth right now. And heading to Bethlehem for this census, they probably wouldn't have thought that it would happen quite like that. A week ago, we studied, again, those in the first century. They had ample time. They had probably 400 years, at least. 400 years to be prepared for the Messiah. They would have heard of this promise. They would have been taught. Their parents probably would have instructed them. But exactly how it would be fulfilled, meaning what exactly would it look like, they may not have had a clear understanding of that. In the same way as the church today, we have many prophecies about the coming times, the end of the world, and everybody loves talks about the end of the world. We have plenty of details, nearly 2,000 years to be prepared as his church for what is coming in the future, but that doesn't mean we know exactly how it will look. We have an expectation of what will happen, but as far as understanding how it will unfold, this is what Joseph and Mary may have been feeling. Aware of that prophecy of Micah 5, but maybe not sure how that's going to work out. She's about to give birth, and they have to leave their home and travel because of the census. So if they're aware of this prophecy of Micah 5, but they're living in Nazareth while she's pregnant, somehow before Mary gives birth, she needs to get to Bethlehem because they're currently living in Nazareth. And God uses this Roman emperor's ruling or taxing to require a census of the Roman world. He uses that to bring Joseph and Mary to the city to which the Christ would be born. And they could have seen that as an inconvenience. I mean, she's ready to go, right? She's ready to pop. Yet God uses this to fulfill his word. And remember, he says the zeal of the Lord will perform this. He will get it done. Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. We got it up on the screen here. It says, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Christ the Savior is born. Amen. Not in a palace and not in a 5-star hotel. They didn't even have breakfast at this inn, right? It was in a manger. And why is that so important? I mean, we set up nativity sets. Everybody talks about the manger. Why is that so important? God sent his only begotten Son, the Word made flesh, the Word that was with God in the beginning, the Word that was God, Scripture says. The Lord came into the world to save sinners like you and I. Christ being born, the Word made flesh, God came down from heaven to our low estate. And so because he did that, he's not out of reach of anybody. Think of a celebrity. Not easy to get a hold of or even earn 5 minutes of a conversation with that celebrity. What about the King of England? Try walking into the palace and saying, "I want to talk to you. 2 minutes of your time." Christ the King of Kings, was not born of that high estate. God himself manifest in the flesh to dwell among us was not born of high degree. And this is what Paul has to say in Philippians. This is why this detail of him being born in a manger is so important. It's why we highlight it every Christmas. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So be prepared, because what we're going to read now was what Christ was thinking of, what he knew. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given a name, him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Humbly he came to the earth he created, all for love's sake became poor. We know that song here, don't we? Light of the world. We all have access to him by faith, with a right heart, of course. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ. You imagine being in that field? The birth of Christ was not on television. Right, but it has been heard by nearly the whole world. There were no reporters there to cover the story. Yet the account was written down. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. A multitude of angels in the heavenly hosts praising God. The greatest entrance into the world we've ever heard of. The birth that split time, B.C. and A.D. The one who came into the world to save sinners like you and me. And that's good things for mankind. Finally, a light has come. Salvation has come. And all those that will can come to the fountain of life and drink freely because of what Christ has done. There's only one good shepherd. There's one good shepherd. He opens the door. And Jesus said that he is the door and he's the shepherd. And he came to seek and save that which was lost. Now, I want you to ask yourself this question, especially for this Christmas, with Christmas in mind, celebrating the birth of Christ, I want you to ask yourself this. Do you think it pleased God to send his only begotten Son? Because we covered God's promises the last four sermons about this, showing that God had a plan of redemption for mankind. Not because we're just so worth it, but because we were just so helpless and hopeless. We cannot help do that which is against God. We're all born of Adam, and we're slaves to sin. But Jesus Christ, not born of Adam, but the Son of God, given to justify many. Was God pleased to give us Christ? To ask yourself that question. I mean, we're the ones who sinned. We're the ones who keep disobeying. If we're capable of being a good person, and being a good person is just so easy and natural, why is it that Christ was born? Why would he need to come into the world? Of course, he didn't stay a child. He's not baby Jesus still. He grew and lived among us. Why is it that he had to suffer and die? Remember when Gabriel said to Joseph, we read this on Sunday, when Gabriel came to Joseph, he was freaked out because Mary was pregnant. And he's like, that's not mine. He was going to put her away privily, the Bible says. He was a just man. He was going to do it quietly. And while he was thinking on these things, the angel Gabriel came to him, and he's telling Joseph, no, it's okay. She hasn't dishonored you, right? It's of the Holy Ghost. And he said, and the angel says, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ was born into the world for the purpose of saving us. From what? A lot of people mix this up. Saving us from what? God's wrath. God's wrath against sin and hell is reserved for such a purpose. If God is good, he must punish sin. And hell is the place of punishment awaiting all sinners for all the sins we've committed. Things like lying and stealing, which I have done. Being jealous of what someone has. That's hard to do during Christmas. Looking upon a woman with lust, Jesus says, is committing adultery in the heart, according to him. Using God's name in vain, most people wouldn't use their mother's name as a cuss word, but why Jesus? Did it please God to give us a Savior? We've been using the movie A Christmas Story as a theme this year. And in the movie, the kiddo up there on the TV, little Ralphie, more than anything, he wants a classic Red Ryder BB gun. And he puts a lot of thought. He puts more thought than I put into anything. Good answer. He puts a lot of thought and work into people around him, not to ask. Actually, he doesn't really ever ask. He just implies that he would really like one. And he could see a Red Ryder BB gun in his future. He daydreams about it. And with people in authority around him, he plots and he schemes trying to get them to agree that a BB gun would be a good gift. If you're looking for one, I heard this is on sale. His first attempt fails with his mom, though. She replies to his request, yells, "Shoot your eye out." And he's shot down without any mercy from mom. And that was his hope. He's trying to avoid his dad. And he's back to square one. So how can he attain that desirous BB gun? That's what he wants. His second attempt was more hopeful, though, in the movie. His teacher tells the class, "I want you to write a theme about what you would like for Christmas." And Ralphie, in the movie, he says this when he hears about the assignment. He goes, "Oh, clouds lifted. I saw a faint gleam of light at the other end of the black cave of doom." Thinking to himself, "I can get this teacher to sympathize with me. That'll all work out somehow." Not expecting that he would receive a poor grade and be told, "You'll shoot your eye out." That's a consistent warning, but he's a persistent kid, a persistent desire for Ralphie. Now, his final attempt. He's visiting a man dressed as Santa at Higbee's department store, and Ralphie's desperate. Okay, he's at a low place. And to his disappointment, the man rushed him away and says what his mom told him, "You'll shoot your eye out." And Ralphie's, after that, he's just in the dumps. The whole movie, in the dumps, trying to find that gift. And for him, hope has been lost. And no one can give him what he so desires. And on Christmas morning, he opens his presents, and he's thankful for what he's been given, but he's not satisfied. And his old man asks him, real casually, "Hey, you get everything you want?" And Ralphie says, "Yeah, almost." His dad then points out, he says, "Oh, what is that over there?" He points out one more gift over by the desk. He tells Ralphie, "Why don't you go check over there?" Now, Ralphie, once again, has signs of life. He's got this little smirk, and he already knows what's waiting for him. His dad is smiling more than Ralphie is, and his dad's eager to give him the gift, while mom doesn't know anything about it. And as Ralphie rips open the present, his mouth drops open, seeing the goodness of his dad given a Red Ryder carbine action 200-shot range air rifle. And finally, Rifle had received what he wanted. And all that planning and scheming and plotting, trying to get his will to be done, all he had to do was ask his father. And his father was pleased to give it to him. Do you think that God the Father was pleased to send Christ into the world? Do you think that God was pleased to come down from heaven for you and I? I think John thought so. 1 John chapter 4, 9 to 11. Check out what John says. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." The angels announced to the shepherds, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." Are you looking for that peace in your life? The one that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds? The one thing you've wanted and tried all the world's ways of getting? Why not ask God? Won't you think he'll give it to you? I mean, didn't he give us his only begotten Son? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I mean, you and I cannot earn our way. What have I done in my life in 34 years now, 34 years? What have I done to deserve the birth of Christ? And what did Christ do to deserve the suffering, reproach, and death of the cross? I'm not acceptable to God because I go to church or even preach at church or because I pray. I'm not acceptable to the Lord because I have somewhat earned eternal life with him. If anybody could earn eternal life by doing good works, what in the world did Jesus have to be born for? And what did he have to die for? Christ came and gave himself up willingly. And does anyone here really think that we're right with God because of what we have accomplished, what I have accomplished, what you have accomplished? Or is there anyone here tonight unsure if God will truly forgive them and accept them as them, that as their own, as his own? Like Ralphie doubted his dad, do you doubt God? Do you doubt his goodness? Tonight and tomorrow, the world is going to be exchanging gifts, showing their love for one another, and excited to see our children open up that one present we didn't tell mom about, to see their face light up, to ready ourselves for a hug from them. I mean, doesn't it feel nice when your kids believe you want good for them? Doesn't it feel good when you feel your kids trust you? That you want to take care of them? Do you believe that God wants good for you? Do you know about the gift he's already made available? Do you believe that God would give you eternal life if you asked? Listen to what Jesus says. I don't think most people know this verse by heart, and neither do I, but it should be something that you commit to your heart. Jesus says, if you being evil, thank you, Jesus, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? If I know how to be, oh well, I'm a sinner, but I know how to give good gifts to my son, and I know how to do that, don't you think God can do a better job? The free gift of eternal life has been made ready, available for all those that call upon the name of Jesus Christ. To receive that free gift, all you got to do, the Bible says, repent, repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn from your way, from the deceitfulness of sin. Bible says, godly sorrow, being sorry to God, worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. A hard heart won't repent. But God gives grace unto the humble. And it all starts with your heart, to seek him with your whole heart. It happened for me. Just hearing about God and Jesus my whole life versus being born again by God's Spirit. It's a big difference. The difference between heaven and hell. Made alive in Christ and given the gift of salvation. Though God has not been pleased by my sins, he was pleased to bring forth his son, that he might destroy the works of the devil, to show his great love wherewith he loved us. This is the true Christmas story. To understand that he came into the world and he came to seek and save that which was lost. Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and you do need righteousness to get into heaven. So how do you get it? Believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And this Christmas, let's make it again all about Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners like you and I. Now, worship team will come on up. We'll start our candle lighting. An angel proclaimed the news that Christ the Savior was born. And the shepherds, hearing the news, they responded in this way. When they heard the news, the shepherd says, and it says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us go, now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying that which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returning, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Be like the shepherds here. Once they heard of the birth of Christ, it says they made haste. They ran to him. We have all been made aware, just like those shepherds have. And when they encountered Christ, they let people know around them. They glorified God and praised his name for all that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, which is us, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So come and let us worship Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and grace, for your great word, Lord, wherewith you've given us. Without it, Lord, we would have no light. Your word, Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Christ the Savior came into the world, and that light, so bright back then, is still shining in our lives today. Help us, Lord. Help us to shine that light, not to cover it up. Help us, Lord, to remember why you came. And help us to remember the great promises you have to those that love you. In Jesus' name, amen.